And welcome, everybody, to RP Grinders episode 683. Apparently, nobody can hear us in chat. Let's see what's going on there. I might have to stop and start that stream. But I'm your host, Frank Branches, along side my trusty cohort, Eric the Great. Breakman the Bold. I don't know what's going on with Breakman, but hopefully he'll get here real soon. I didn't get any messages or anything like that, so hopefully he's okay and good to go. Let us know if you can hear us in chat now, Freak Five or Slagar.
Thaddeus Nook. That's his name, is Raccoon.
Thaddeus Nook?
Kind of like Tom Nook.
Like Tom Nook, yeah. And he's not related to those Nooks, apparently, he says. All right, let us know if you can hear us, Freak Five. I don't think I hit any mute buttons or anything like that. I don't know what the hell's going on. But anyways, let's get started with the news here, Eric.
RPG News.
All right, Eric, what do we got for our first news story?
We got from RPG site, Demio PC Edition launches for Steam Early Access on April 7th, priced at $29.99. It was originally released last year for Steam as a virtual reality type tabletop RPG. This new version can be played with a VR headset. The owners of the original VR version of Demio will get access to the game for free, and those who purchase the PC version will get access to the VR version. So it's cross-buy.
Yeah. Hey, Freak Five, take those earplugs out of your ears.
That's also cross-play, apparently.
Huh, cross-play, that's cool. I remember this game a while back for VR, but never heard anything good or bad from it. So, you know, it looks cool. It looks like a D&D-esque strategy virtual reality game. So, I mean, okay. Down. I mean, if I had VR. Hey, Freak 5, how do you still play your VR and have a lot of fun with it? I know there's a few games that you experienced with the VR. So, all right, anything else on this, Eric?
Not really. That's pretty much it.
All right. Next story comes to us from RPGsite.net. The Outbound Ghost haunts consoles and Steam later this year. So it's going to be out for all the major systems, Q4 2022. This is a Digirati game. If anybody doesn't know who the publisher Digirati, they don't exactly have a great history of things. To me, this looks like a Mario, Paper Mario kind of game. Looks okay. I mean, I don't know. What do you think, Eric? I mean, from what you've seen here.
Yeah, kind of looks cute.
I wouldn't be able to hear it if I took the earbud out of my ear, Freak 5 says. How dare you? Well, keep that in there then. Don't take it out. Yeah, or put it in the right orifice, you know. Yeah, he says he likes his VR. Yeah, you know, I've been waiting for the second VR iteration to come out. I'm curious. I kind of want to try it, but before that, I got to get a new Xbox, play some stuff on there. There's a really quick little blurb here about the game. In the world of the Outbound Ghost, spirits will still upset about their lives, can't move on. So instead of peacefully proceeding to the afterlife, they haunt folks as ghosts. Playing just with its namesake suggests, you control a charming amnesiac ghost. Of course, it's amnesia, you know. Unsure of how they died or who they are, your arrival in Outbound, a village haunted by former residents stuck in limbo, sets you on the path to freeing lost souls. So, I mean, like I said, it looks like a cutesy Mario RPG type game to me. So that works. I mean, you know, I mean, Mario RPG's got some good stuff. So, all right. Eric, next story, please.
Next story is from RPG site, and this is about turn-based RPG, strategy RPG, Lords of Ravage, announced for PlayStation 5, 4, Xbox Series S, X, Xbox One, Nintendo Switch, and PC. There's a trailer for it, but it says it is said that only in the darkness of times true heroes are forged, but others may be lured into this darkness through a much easier path. Some follow this path out of selfish greed, and that's just you're basically playing as bad guys, I guess. It says you are the final boss. These are the features. Deal with dangerous heroes, slowly wearing them down before the inevitable fight with the dungeon boss, you. Or take matters in your own hands and appear on the battlefield to aid your less competent followers.
I like it.
And you can play as one of three different lords.
Kind of like the idea of this game. I mean, I wish Break was here, because this is something that he would probably really, really love. You know, he likes playing the bad guy or, doing bad things in video games. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but I can't even bring myself to do, like if I have a choice between good and bad, I always choose the good. I don't know. I always have, or what I think is good. You know, sometimes it has bad consequences, but whatever. All right. Anything else on this, Eric?
Not really.
All right. Next story comes to us from RPGsite.net. Side-scroller RPG Soldiers, Soul, as in S-O-L, Soldiers, to release on May 19th for PS5, for the Xboxes and Nintendo Switch and Steam. So there you go. It's kind of a little play on words. There's a little trailer there. It's a Metroidvania-style game where players can choose to play as one of three characters, as Scout, Archer, or Caster. So I'm guessing the Scout's more like the warrior type, and then the Archer and Caster. So kind of a gauntlet thing. What was that? Is that yours?
My phone went off.
Oh, okay. Thought that was mine for a second there. But there's the trailer. Not a lot of gameplay from what I can see on it. But I like the idea, and should be a ton of fun. I don't... there's gameplay right here. Let's take a real quick peek at... gameplay, if I can get it. Oh, it's got a 16-bit style retro kind of feel, like side-scrolling Metroidvania. Yeah, that's cool. This game looks cool. It's got gripping melee combat, I guess, which, I mean, every game says that. Interconnected world, 16-bit, yep, and smart moves, solve environmental puzzles, and leap from place to place using an ever-expanding moveset. So, I mean, it looks really cool. It looks good. It looks good. I think this game looks actually really good. So, all right, Eric, what do we got next?
We got, Vestiria Saga's Gaiden has gotten renamed to Vestiria Saga 2. And it's got a couple new features that we can talk about. So the new updates include new music, resolution upgrade. Now it's 1280 by 720. So I guess it was originally sub-720. But that's neat, because the engine that they're using isn't really meant for higher resolutions.
Yeah.
Anyways, new bonuses for completing the entire game. Battle results added to the end of every map, the ability to save every turn, as well as an autosave function, various new functions as a result of updating the game to the latest version, and new single rebalance difficulty, including new item stat buffs, skills, and more.
This is an older game that came out a while back, right, Eric?
This is a game that... this is a sequel to the original Vestiria Saga, but they're calling it Gaiden for some reason. But it ended up becoming an actual sequel, I guess. Mm-hmm. But it was developed with an engine that was made... It was like a free strategy RPG game-making engine. Kind of like RPG Maker, but for strategy games.
Gotcha.
And it was... this was the first game that was made with that engine, and it's made by X Fire Emblem developers.
Yeah.
The original developer.
Yeah. It's another old school strategy type game, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looks cool. I mean, I vaguely remember the first one. That's why I asked. Like, I never played it, but I remember us talking about it.
I hope they can look into getting a way to port it to consoles.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else on that one?
But I'm getting a Steam Deck, so I guess I could play it there.
Yeah, there you go. Anything else on this one, Eric?
Not really.
All right. The last story comes to us from RPGsite.net. Monster Taming RPG, Creature Keeper, set to release for Steam in 2023. It's another kind of old school RPG type deal. Monster raising, so sort of like, what would you compare this to, Eric? Like
Monster Rancher, maybe?
Monster Rancher, yeah. So there's a few little things here about it. There's a video playing. It looks like another kind of 16-bit-ish, in between 8-bit and 16-bit-ish kind of cutesy, like type game, Creature Keeper. A new kind of hero take up the ancient role of a Creature Keeper. Strange sickness is affecting otherwise healthy creatures, and you must uncover its mysteries to restore balance to a world divided. Befriend a small army of creatures. So you just start, getting a bunch of badass creatures and strengthen them. Strengthen creatures with food. Learn recipes while adventuring and cook up tasty meals to help your creatures grow in their own special way. As creatures grow, so do you. More knowledge equals more power. Raise your party and fight corrupted creatures to unlock creature notes, skills, recipes, and more in the bestiary. Craft equipment for yourself and creatures. So that's cool. Explore the magic of the pocket garden. Grow ingredients, power-ups, equipment, and more with your pocket garden, a magical portable farm. Ooh, I kind of like that concept. So you don't have to go to home base all the time. Creatures with style, craft fashion items such as hats, masks, and accessories for your creatures to wear. So I'm guessing that's probably going to be the microtransaction portion of the game at some point. Connection is bad there tonight, Slagar says. Ooh, sorry about that, Slagar. Looks good on my end. I got green on all cylinders, so...
Is the weather bad or something?
I don't know. He's probably at the pub. So they're not great. But here it looks good. I mean, I'm getting green.
Because it's been, pretty rainy around here.
Yeah. It's pretty good here. Nothing going on here. So maybe if I change it to that, it'll get a little better for y'all. But green on my end. I have something that checks everything to make sure everything's cool. So, okay. That's about it for the news. Let me quickly, as the dogs bark in the background here, check to see if Break is back in there. Nope, no Break Man. So we'll continue on. Hope Break Man's okay. All right. Homie Discount, did you see anything on Discount? There's a few more sales on PlayStation. There was a 70% off sale. I didn't see
One deal that stood out in particular for me is that you can get Greedfall for both the PS4 and the PS5 for $10.50.
That's a great deal, even though it was a plus title.
I got the PS Plus version, but that was only for PS5. If I get the PS4 version, I can keep it forever.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, and it's a automatic upgrade to PS5, right? Like, they'll give you the upgrade.
But I think it's a cross-buy title regardless, so...
Oh, I gotcha. Okay, cool. All right, so let's move on
to... The thing is, I'm allowed to purchase it, because I technically never bought the PS4 version.
Ah, that's true. Okay, let's move on, Eric, to...
Inquiring Minds want to know.
Inquiring Minds want to know what you've been playing.
I've been playing more Elden Ring. Yeah, I'm really close to getting the platinum for the PS4 version, and I can put it to bed. And there's a recent update that actually fixed some of the performance issues, including one of the quest lines that was broken previously, which was supposed to be fixed with full version 3.0 or 1.03, but apparently some people are still having issues, like myself, because, like, depending on how far you've progressed in any of the quest lines related to that one, you might not be able to advance, and they fixed that snag.
Hmm. Okay. Well, that's good. That's really good.
Like I said, the game's more stable now, so I'm wondering how well the PS5 version performs compared to the PS4 version.
Yeah.
Because everything got fixed across the board with performance, I think.
Gotcha. Alright, anything else you've been playing, Eric?
I played a tiny bit of Kirby in the Forgotten Land.
Okay.
Just the very first level.
Kind of fun, as always.
I've only played the first level, but it's neat.
Yeah.
The only thing I don't like is that this game is running at 30 frames, which is kind of a downer, because so does Kirby Star Allies, which just is proof that HAL Laboratories values resolution and scope more than they do frame rate, and the Switch is just proving itself that it's time to move on to the next generation hardware.
Oh man, Peak Pipe is exiled. He says,
it doesn't ruin the game experience, but yeah, it would be so much better if it was smoother.
Yeah, I agree, Eric. I don't know why they don't do 60. They should easily be able to handle it on a game like that.
Yeah, like I said, they probably didn't want to compromise on resolution.
I don't know why.
Or enemy count.
I don't think they would have to compromise enemy count. Maybe resolution a little bit, but damn. Freak says, I've been playing Elden Ring. I named my character Frank Branches. I made him as old as I could and started him as a wretch. He was killed by a bunch of wolves. They didn't like him calling the wolves.
I started as a wretch, too, because I wanted to just see what I could do with what I found.
Yeah.
Damn. And I ended up building a strength build anyway.
Yeah. I've been looking at a lot of Elden Ring vids. I think next check I'm gonna pick it up and play it. I got FOMO, man, on Elden Ring. Everybody's playing it, and I want to play it. Sheep rolled into a ball and rolled away from Frank. It probably thought Frank was gonna try and fuck. How dare you?
Oh yeah, some of the lambs in the later area of the game, a special area of the game has like a hill with like there's these like. Fauna that like no fauna flora that there's like different types of flowers that you, for materials that you can get, but they're like voltage ones, and the sense of rams have been eating them all. They ended up shocking you when they roll across the union. They can do decent damage to you if you just let them roll and continue to roll into
what,
you.
What doesn't do decent damage in that fucking game, man? I mean, it. You say it's easier than the other ones. I'd like to know where. But anyways,
depending on how good you are at making builds and what build you start out with and choose to stick with, and what situations you or how you approach situations depends on how easy or hard a time game you're gonna have.
Yeah, yeah.
But in general, strength and magic are like typically the way to go. But like, there's some pretty overpowered dex builds, but like. It's more of a question of how much harder is your beginning experience going to be versus your end experience.
Yeah, well, the beginning is usually the hardest
part. The bench is kind of hard because you start without any armor, and it's a lot easier to die because you have no extra protection.
Yeah. Freak says he can finally kill the giant trolls, so that's cool. All right, what else you been playing? Anything else?
Also, there? Bleed is your friend in that game. It does a lot more damage than it has done in previous Souls games.
Yeah.
In Dark Souls 3, Bleed was pretty good. But Dark Souls 2, Bleed was much better.
Yeah.
But they toned it down for 3. But now they seem to ramp it up, so it's a more viable option this
time. It seems like Bleed and Poison are pretty good things.
Poison's been generally useless. Toxic, on the other hand... It depends on what game you play. Toxic's really good in 2. Not so much in 3, but in Elden Ring, it's called Scarlet Rot.
Yeah. All right.
It's basically just its version of the Plague, which is just a different version of Toxic.
Anything else you've been playing, Eric?
No, that's really it.
All right. I had obviously I play MPQ. I had a chance to play a little bit of Shibuya Scramble some more, and the game is interesting, man. It is a visual novel, but it's a lot harder than the normal visual novel. You know, normal visual novel is pretty easy. You just go through it and you get the ending that you get, and you know, there's choices obviously, and then those choices basically give you the ending that you picked yourself. But this one is a little different. Like it's not clear cut. Like sometimes you have to fail in order to get, you know, to go back to pick the right thing to continue on. Like it doesn't let you continue until you pick the right
path. It forces you to go on a different story.
Yeah, route. Yeah. It forces you to
at points.
Yeah. So I mean, it's a little different, and I kind of like it. It's fun. I have no idea where it's going, but I am interested. It starts interesting. I mean, there's, you know, the writing's not, I mean, I don't know if it's translationeric, but the writing isn't exactly the best in the world, but I can get the gist of.
I think it has more to do with the fact that the game probably could have benefited from having voice acting.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, voice acting would have been a lot better, but no, it's a fine game so far. So, you know, Freak says he's been using a flail that causes bleed. Yeah. Bleed's a really, really strong attribute to have in Elden Rings, from what I gather. So, all right. So that's all I've been playing. Let's move on. I know, Eric, you have a review, so let's go ahead.
Frostbite's actually pretty good, too. It's kind of like Bleed, but it also has the... It doesn't do as much damage as Bleed, but it also has the added benefit of reduced stamina... increased stamina consumption.
Yeah.
And you apparently take more damage when you're under the effects of Frostbite.
Yeah.
Like, by 20%, which is big.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on to this.
Any day the only now. Problem with Frostbite is actually finding something that can do it well.
All right, Eric, we're on to reviews. You want to go ahead and do your review?
Yeah, I watched Jujutsu Kaisen Zero, which is a film, and like it suggests, it's actually a prequel to the series itself. Although you could basically see it without having seen the series, but it does spoil a couple things with the TV show that you pick up on if you see the TV show first, and then you see this and be like, oh, so that's why this character exists in this movie. He kind of showed up here first. Because the movie's about a boy who entered into the first year group at the Jujutsu High, and the Jujutsu sorcerers are basically cursed sorcerers. They use cursed energy to fight curses to protect the normal people so they don't have to worry about curses killing them all and stuff like that. It's a very derivative manga and anime, but it's also interesting because it's... I feel like it's what I wished Bleach had become and what it failed to become. And the person who's writing it actually takes the time to put in character development for the characters. Not just the main characters, but also the side characters. And I have to wonder if this could be chalked up to the fact that the writer is a woman, and maybe women are just better at writing than the men are. Especially when it comes to writing women characters, because, you know, they're women. Because I think the problem most men that write comics, or manga specifically, is that they don't know enough women in their life to know what they're like, so they can write them well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because, like, famous example would be Akira Toriyama not knowing what to do with Chi-Chi, or like, they know what they did to do with Bulma, because Bulma is like an engineer, so like they could just use her as a convenient plot device whenever they need a device to do something. But Chi-Chi, he doesn't know what to do with.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. But, anyways, It's about he joins up and he's trying to figure out how to rid himself of this curse that he has. That happened when the movie gets into that. I'm not talking that other than the fact that and then there becomes a part of this larger plot that this conspiracy of this guy who's basically a Jujutsu sorcerer supremacist. He wants to kill all non-Jujutsu sorcerers. So Hitler.
Yeah.
Basically. So there's the fightings and then the movie's over. It's like an hour and a half long.
Yeah.
It was fun. And I hope that the character that is introduced in the series, he's the fourth second year in the series, but you never see him in the first season of the show because the reason becomes apparent in this film that he's too strong and he'd basically kill any kind of character development the characters in that series have. So they kind of have to tuck him away somewhere by having him go on missions constantly. So that's why you never see him in the group.
All right.
But now I'm curious as to like what the deal with Gojo is, who's like their teacher. He's kind of a weirdo. Yeah. But he's also, like, ultra-powerful, too.
Alright, so what are you giving this movie? Jujutsu Kaisen?
I'm gonna give it an 8.
Alright, fairly good. That's actually a really high score. So, is it a must for people to watch if they're watching the series?
If you're enjoying the series, yeah.
Yeah, okay, cool.
It'll probably, like, help illuminate some things that you were thinking about, maybe.
Yeah. Okay, I like when movies do that. I don't like movies just for the sake of making
movies.
That's
another reason I like this series so far, and I'm going to continue to watch it, because it deals with social issues like misogyny and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's move on to everybody's favorite segment.
Stinko of the Week.
All right, we're going to do Stinkos of the Week. I'm going to start with Freak Fives in chats because he's been having some issues apparently with the feed. But he said, let's see. Last Friday night while playing Friday the 13th, the person I was playing with mentioned that she hadn't heard from the friend of mine that I had hooked her up with in over a month. He had COVID in January, wasn't answering his phone. I said, go on Facebook and see if anyone has talked to him recently. Found out on his Facebook that he had died. Oof. He was found last Monday in his apartment. His funeral's tomorrow. I've known him for about 20 years. Golly, Freak Five. You've been having the worst luck, man. I mean, I'm sorry to hear that. That's terrible. Jeez. Holy hell, man. Can you imagine that? I mean, I was just watching a YouTube video on Lane Staley and like how somebody found him in his apartment way later after he had died because nobody...
It sounds like he hasn't been in his apartment that long. It's just they didn't know about it until now.
No, that's what I'm saying. They didn't know that...
He was probably having issues related to having COVID and then that probably just snowballed into him dying.
Right. I mean, you never know, but, it sounds like it. Like, maybe related to some complications or something, man. Golly. I mean, they talk about that long COVID thing, right? So maybe he had, you know...
It's kind of how my uncle died. I mean, he had COVID pneumonia, but he also had COVID, so that didn't help.
Yeah. God, that really sucks. All right, Eric, your Stinko of the Week.
My Stinko goes to Crunchyroll, or mostly Sony, because Sony owns Crunchyroll, and this sounds like something that they did, because I'm going to talk about something else Sony did this week. The merger seems to be getting worse, because according to this tweet from them, it's a message from the Crunchyroll staff. It basically says, for the spring 2022 season, and future seasonal releases, Crunchyroll will update our offering on simulcast titles by subscription tier. To new view an existing simulcast, a premium monthly or annual subscription will be required. With the exception below, we will no longer be offering simulcast episodes 1 week after release as an ad-supported reviewing option. Continuing series ad-supported viewing on any news episodes will not be available in line with the spring season. However, previously pre-published episodes are still available for all user types. So that they're kicking out people who wanted to do like a free trial run and at like a lower resolution and have to wait an extra week because they want the extra money. Because of course they do. They're fucking Sony. Yeah. Greedy motherfuckers.
Are they still going to have like the free subscription or no longer?
No, this sounds like they're getting rid of it.
Oh, that sucks, man.
It says though, like the older stuff will be grandfathered in, but the newer stuff they're not going to let people.
Ugh, that really sucks.
You pay for the newer stuff.
Because I liked being able to, you know, to watch anything that they had pretty much for the most part with commercials. You know,
I mean, and it doesn't help that their GUI is cluttered. Sometimes there isn't a dub available for a show. Sometimes there's sub. Sometimes there's dub only, and some of the stuff is just hard to disseminate on there because the GUI is so terrible. They'll label something as a season, but it's like really just a separate audio feed. And then there's the issue where, like, am I watching a home video release or a TV broadcast version? Most of the stuff is TV broadcast, so you don't know what's what.
Yeah, I'm not gonna buy that. You know,
this is why I'm still subscribing to the Funimation app because I want to get their shit in order, and I'm not sure that they will.
You know, somebody brought up an interesting kind of.
I'll pay more just for having the convenience of not being confused about what's on the service or not.
Yeah. So somebody brought up something interesting to me about Netflix, and I'm really contemplating getting rid of Netflix. I mean, they're up to $20 a month, and
yeah, I'm gonna probably just
hold watch on, Eric. Let me
on Netflix so I can.
Yeah. Let me finish. Okay. I'm thinking about getting rid of it because. It's $20 a month, right? And I probably watch probably one or two movies, on there. And a lot of the movies that are on there that I watch, the Netflix originals notwithstanding, I mean, I know that's pretty much what people are paying for. But like, I get movies on sale from Vudu, right? That's the, you know, Vudu Fandango, that's the Walmart service. And a lot of times they have sales for, you know, $5 for a movie, right? And so you can buy it in high definition, maybe not 4K, although I do get deals on 4K every once in a while.
And that'd be like good because like you could just pay a fraction of the price you'd be paying for Netflix per month if you're only going to watch one thing that month anyway.
Hey, Freak 5, I'm going to stop the feed and then I'm going to restart it. So we're going to continue on, but just stick, you know, try refreshing in like a minute. I'm going to stop the the stream and then I'll restart it. But no, Eric, I don't know what's going on here, dude. With Netflix, like they keep raising the rates. I know it's because they want to keep up all the original content and stuff, but I don't think they have anything super compelling. Like there's nothing on Netflix that I've ever said other than the Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie that Bernie really wanted to see that I was just like super hyped for. You know, I mean, Castlevania aside, like I think I'm going to buy Castlevania. As soon as they come out with a 4K version of Castlevania, I'm all over it, right? But other than that, like, I don't watch Netflix. So that's, I mean, you know, I could save that $20. I could maybe get a YouTube premium subscription, which is, I think, what, $10 or less? And I can save the $10-$15 and buy a couple movies a month and 2-3 movies a month and be good. Or one major movie, you know. And just go about it that way, and then I always have the movie, you know. So it just I don't know. You're right, man. You have to think about these things, and Crunchyroll is just I mean, if they're going to do that, then what incentive does anybody have to buy?
Back to my stinking about Sony. Yeah. Of course, it makes all the sense in the world. Like, Gran Turismo 7, like, charging you to pay an online subscription to play a game because it's always online.
Yeah.
Even though it's mostly a single-player experience, unless you want to do the multiplayer thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. All right, so what else? Anything else on your stinkos, Eric?
Yeah.
All right, I got a couple.
Other than the obvious, the ongoing problems with Ukraine.
Well, yeah, that's like, I mean, that shit hasn't stopped, has it? I mean, you know, we could talk about that ad nauseum every week, but my stream key got messed up right before the show, and I don't know how that happened, but I got it fixed. Currently can hear, okay, cool, Freak 5. I don't know what's going on. I'm going to have to reset everything, but I'll do that after the show. But I had an interesting conversation with somebody about trans people in bathrooms. They were complaining about it, right? Oh, I don't want trans people, you know, trans people going into girls' bathrooms. And I'm like, hold on, Eric.
Why does your mind even go there?
Hold on, Eric. I'm like, how would that affect you? And in which way would this affect you? I don't know. You know, if a guy goes in there, I was like, first of all, it's not a guy going in there. I mean, they identify as women. So a woman goes in there. What do you think is going to happen exactly? Like bathroom, honestly,
because that's what you do in a bathroom.
And then I said, you know, these people identify as women. They don't identify as men. And
if you were worried about someone raping in the bathroom, how come you weren't worried about it before when it was just? When it was a quote unquote actual woman.
Well, right. But here's what I was saying, Eric. Let me finish my point. I was like, so first of all, that's a woman going in the bathroom, and you never have a problem with a woman, an adult woman going in with a child, a little girl going in the bathroom. There's never a worry there, right? So why should you be worried? These people identify as women, right? They're women. They might have the equipment downstairs, but they have no interest in little girls or young women or anything of that nature, okay, first off. And second off, they're going into a bathroom to do what? To go to the bathroom. Do you think they're actually actively going around from bathroom to bathroom to look, you know, for people to rape or diddle? It just doesn't happen.
Thing I could ask someone like that when they start saying like that, it's like, what, do you go in the bathrooms and rape other people or something?
Yeah,
you
know, and I said,
other people doing it to you?
That's another point I made, Eric. I was like, you know, that's your mind going into places that really shouldn't be going, you know? And I think you should probably think about this a little bit more. I mean, look, and then another thing to consider, women's bathrooms have stalls, right? So there's almost complete privacy when you're going to the bathroom in a woman's bathroom.
Unlike so, men's who have to deal with urinals.
I know, and I never understood that, Eric. I hate it. I don't understand why there aren't like four different stalls in men's. Not that I care. But I mean, do you really want somebody staring at your junk, gay or otherwise? It's not something that I would like, you know. And I know they got those little dividers, but you can still see somebody on the other side, right? It's like, why don't those things extend all the way up and give me complete privacy? You know, I don't know. It's just one of those things. I said, so the women's bathroom is completely private. They do their business, they wash their hands, and they get out. Like, nothing is going on there.
People, please educate yourselves on sexual dimorphism and all that stuff, because you'll learn very quickly that there's more than two genders out there, and there's more than two sexual orientations as well.
Right, and that's why I was like aghast when they were asking the new justice all those questions, like what defines a woman and all these things that had literally nothing to do with law, right? Nothing. None of that has anything to do with law.
I'm not just talking about, like, genitals. I was like, I'm talking, like, X and Y chromosomes. No, Eric, or extra Y pairs. Some people don't have either.
Eric, you're not listening to what I'm saying. I know what you're saying, but I'm saying that's why I was like befuddled when that, like, the Republican senators were asking Kenjani Brown all those questions about what defines a woman and all this stuff, because it's like it has nothing to do with the business at hand, right? I mean, they should you're right, they should educate themselves, man, but they won't because they don't care to. They want to discriminate.
I just wanted to ask, though, was he asking this because he wanted people to answer a certain way?
No. It was an offhanded comment, and I called him on it. I'm like, why are you worried about trans people going into battle?
No, I was talking about, like, the guy you were getting him an example. Sorry.
Oh, you mean the senator?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was a woman. It was Marsha Blackburn. She asked Kenjani Brown what defines a woman. Can you tell us what defines a woman? And she's like, I'm not – I mean, she had a perfect answer. She said, like, I'm not a biologist or – a scientist. That's not my expertise, because that, I mean, they're trying to corner her to say one thing or another, so that way they could, like, you know, it's like a gotcha question, you know, and it just, she answered it perfectly. She's like, I'm not a biologist. I'm not here to discuss that topic. You know, if you want to know something about law, ask me. You know, she's more qualified than anybody on the bench currently. You know, I have another quick one, and it goes, speaking of justices, Clarence Thomas's wife is a piece of shit. I mean, I hate to say it, but she really is a piece of shit. No other way to put it. I mean, she was texting Mark Meadows. Did you see this story, Eric?
Not really. I mean, it's all bits and pieces, but I don't know.
Okay, she was texting Mark Meadows about the insurrection and how she wanted the election overturned and all this stuff to Mark Meadows, right, the chief of staff. And to boot, Clarence Thomas didn't recuse himself with the whole Trump thing.
He was hearing about that.
Yeah, he was the only judge that voted against getting the national archive documents from Mar-a-Lago, etc. He was the only one to dissent. And now we know why. Because his wife was complicit with Mark Meadows in, you know, all that stuff. So I think he should be immediately impeached and another justice should be put in his place. And then we can be back to a 5-4 fucking more liberal justice in the Supreme Court. Just really weird. But anyways, what else? Okay, let's move on to happier thoughts, Eric.
Dude, what does my tattoo say?
Sweet! Sweet of the week!
All right, Eric, what is your sweet of the week?
I don't really have any other than Kirby Day.
Oh, yeah, well, that's a good one, man. That's definitely a good one. All right, and then mine, real quickly, was just being on time for the show and... I thought I was going to be late, but...
Here's another stinko, Brake not being here.
I know, that is a stinko. I hope everything's okay with Brake. I'm gonna tweet him after to make sure everything's okay. I hope everything's okay with Brake, because he normally...
I hope it's like an issue where you just got fucking tired or something.
Yeah, maybe passed out or something, yeah. Hopefully. Did you read... Yeah, I did read your stinko.
I can only...
Hold on, Eric.
I hate my brain for thinking this, but I wonder if something happened to his mom.
No, God, don't jinx it, man. I hope not. Freak, I did read your stinko, man. I said, you know, I'm really sorry for that, man. That really sucks. You know, you've had a lot of heartbreak the past couple of years, Freak 5. You know, I hope everything, you know, hope the services are good and, you know, just terrible, terrible news. I hate hearing news like that, Freak 5, but yes, I did read your stinko when we got to it. So, all right, let's move on to our newest segment.
It's time to die.
All right, Eric, what franchise, either game or movie, or singular title should never be seen again, or at least for a long time.
The most recent example would probably have to be, I don't want to see a follow-up to Babylon's Fall. Okay. Or games like it.
Alright. I kind of think that they should retire Predator in video games and in movies, because I don't think they've gotten anything right since Predators. And although Predators was good, it wasn't great, and I don't have a lot of faith in this new movie that's coming out. So I think Predator should be, and especially gaming wise, like, they've never really gotten it great in games. They tried with that that multiplayer game, but I mean, I haven't seen a singular.
Plus, he was sharing the screen time with
them. Yeah, I don't like it, man. I wish they would do a single game experience. You know, like a single, campaign. But it just
first person stealth game.
Yeah, maybe that would be cool, playing as
the
Predator.
Kind of like the opposite of Isolation, but you're the hunter.
Yeah, I mean, that would be cool. Like, you have to be super stealthy and, like, you know, track your prey and all that stuff. But Freak 5 says, since Break isn't here, I'm going to say Halo for his franchises that are games that should die. I'll let him know next week, Freak 5, you said that. But I think Halo's got a little bit of life in it. At least there's some story in there, you know, and stuff you can work with. I mean, it hasn't been stellar, but I mean, from everything Break is saying, I mean, this new game's pretty good. So, I think that's pretty cool. All right, any other thoughts on that, Eric, before we hit the free-for-all this week?
No.
All right.
That's it. Sorry, I was yawning.
All right, here we go. It's a free-for-all! Yeah, it's a free-for-all! All right, we're going to talk about this. So I'm going to play a video for you guys. It's basically about, and this comes from Inside Gaming, so make sure you check them out. It's an interesting, it's about 9 minutes long, so we'll go ahead and listen to this, Eric, and then we'll talk about it right after. But this is about the Ori devs and Robin Hunick, I don't know how to pronounce it.
And like three other dev studios.
They're accused of workplace abuse. So let's go ahead and listen to Evan Campbell from Inside Gaming and hear what this is all about.
Beat.com reveals seemingly a number of years of toxic working conditions at Moon Studios, the developers behind the Ori games, and in addition, a video posted on the same day by People Make Games thoroughly investigates three other major indie developers, including Journey co-creator Robin Hunicky, for extreme and extended cases of emotional abuse, in which multiple employees and former employees shared testimonies of their experiences. This one's a lot, so let's get into it. Starting with Moon Studios, the article written by Dean Takahashi, titled "Despite its beautiful Ori games, Moon Studios is called an oppressive place to work," is quite an extensive piece and includes a number of first-hand accounts that collectively say Moon Studios founders Thomas Mahler and Gennady Korol have created a very toxic working environment. A quick content warning for verbal abuse, vulgar comments around abortion, rape, and an inappropriate joke about genocide. Issues at Moon Studios included complaints of racist and graphic jokes that can be seen by the entire studio in group chats, harassment, hyper-negative criticisms on work without proper context, or constructive feedback to address issues, big fights between the co-founders Mahler and Korol, as well as last-minute changes that cause a large amount of development time to be completely wasted, in turn causing crunch and other issues. According to an employee testimony, Mahler would say, "Someone's work looked like and sometimes the insults were much worse, like calling the developers failed abortions. The environment got so toxic that it led to high turnover at Moon Studios, but according to the employees, the founders didn't care. One employee mentioned they were hired to work on the second Ori game, Will of the Wisps, and they were excited to work with the talented team who made the first game, Ori and the Blind Forest, but they quickly realized a number of those developers had left the company. Specifically, they said, "Why did the art team leave? That was an alarm bell to me. The sound team didn't come back. I think Thomas and Gennady believe everyone is replaceable, which is not a great feeling feeling when you go to work. Multiple employees who left Moon Studios say they were scarred with mental health problems and even considered changing industries entirely. Before VentureBeat published their story, they gave Mahler and Coral a chance to respond, and they actually did. In a joint response, they wrote, "We don't believe the experiences suggested by your questions are representative of the more than 80 Moon Studios team members who are thriving and doing great work every day, nor do we believe they are representative of the experiences of former members of our team." Then they go on to explain they've made people happy, advanced their careers, and created two award-winning games. They also point out that their studio has a flat structure where they facilitate an open platform for developers to speak directly and openly to each other. However, employees in the VentureBeat article point out that the open platform does more harm than good, since it's more readily being used as a platform for, quote, anti-woke culture, unquote, and an excuse to make inappropriate comments and jokes in the workplace. For example, according to one source in the piece, one day Mahler joked, "Tyler is the only person who is aware of my devious plans to kill the Jews by making them work to death through game development." It was clearly a joke, according to the employee in the report, but probably not one that should be made in the workplace, if at all. And multiple employees mentioned that this type of tone was pretty constant. One employee who spoke with VentureBeat tried to contextualize the studio's policies around having an open platform and the co-founder's fear of PC culture interfering with their creative process, saying, "They have a mentality where they think they're not politically correct. They don't want to be censored, they don't want to be corporate, they don't want to be like these other studios, but it's just a justification to behave in any way they want to. Other studios attempt to make a comfortable work environment for everyone involved." I will say there is one instance in the story in which the open platform might have helped Moon Studios make a better creative decision. In one case, Mahler wanted a character in an upcoming game to be raped. It took about a month to convince him this was a bad idea for a plot in a video game where the object was to revive the character with the motivation for revenge. In Mahler and Coral's statement to VentureBeat regarding the issues at their studio, they acknowledged that their behavior towards each other at times may have come off as insensitive and made others feel uncomfortable, but then, again, go on to highlight their achievements and the positive impact they've made on their employees' lives. Then they concluded by saying, "We are not perfect, but we deeply care about our talent and are constantly working hard to improve. If we have ever made anyone feel uncomfortable or let anyone down, we regret that and we will always strive to do better." Another employee in the article suggested that incredible work is getting done by talented people at Moon Studios, but that work is being done in spite of Mahler and Coral's toxic management issues, not because of them. Now, I wish I could say that was all, but another similar story dropped on the same day in the form of a YouTube video by People Make Games. That channel is largely supported by their Patreon subscribers, so they are able...
Oh, a little bit of, hold on a second here.
Ads?
Yeah, stupid ads. Hang tight, y'all. All right.
Specialize in investigative journalism. This particular video explores the issues with the distribution of power within the indie scene by reporting on three major indie developers accused of emotional abuse. The first two accounts in the video have been reported on or around in the past, but one surprising reveal were multiple people who came forward about game industry veteran Robin Hunicky. Hunicky has worked at EA, co-developed Journey, and founded the game studio Phenomena. Now, because it forms a larger narrative around a pattern of very successful indie dev auteurs, I'm going to quickly recap the People Make Games video. The first part is about Ken Wong, the founder and creative director of Mountains, who made Monument Valley and Florence. Employee accounts explain how Wong would tear people down, interrogating every aspect of their work without reason or alternatives. Things got so bad, the studio implemented a safe word policy in which employees could say the word pause to stop any one-on-one conversations with Wong, and then the studio's leadership would step in to mediate. Eventually, things fell apart completely in 2021, and the studio is still on hiatus. The second part of the video is about Steve Gaynor and the toxic culture formed by his leadership that basically ended Fulbright, the studio behind Gone Home, which was reported on by Polygon last year. And finally, the third part of the video, starting around 23 minutes in, is about Robin Hunicky. People Make Games spoke with a mix of 8 former and current employees who shared their own stories about emotional abuse they experienced while working with Robin. The common thread among them was that Robin used personal information about her employees at work in a way that was either humiliating or unprofessional. According to the testimonies, that sensitive information was also used to psychoanalyze or explain an employee's poor performance. This would include information about employees' sexuality, their dating lives, whether or not they were in therapy, or comments about their personal appearance. In one example, Robin commented during a meeting that an employee was, quote, struggling with their sexuality right now, so it makes sense that they are a little bit distracted, unquote. Now, while one example of someone talking out of turn or overstepping boundaries might not seem like the grounds for an entire investigative piece, the amount of people who are willing to come forward and their perspective forms a much bigger picture. During the development of the studio's second game, Wadum, Katamari creator Keita Takahashi was said to have made a barricade of chairs to prevent Hunuki from interacting with his team. One employee described the atmosphere at Phenomena during that time as tiptoeing around the house because your parents are hungover and alcoholics. Somebody is going to explode. When People Make Games reach out to Robin Hunicky and Phenomena's CTO for a chance to comment, they decline. However, afterwards, a group of employees reached out to People Make Games to say they were concerned that if the story was to come to light, that Phenomena would spin the occurrences as an older version of the studio that's grown and changed since the development of their last two games. That essentially, Robin Hunicky treats people better now. As a warning, the employees wrote, "We wanted to let you know that it is a current pattern of behavior and that Robin Hunicky continues to create a toxic environment." Once the People Make Games video went live, a number of other co-workers and colleagues came out with their own stories. One developer wrote, "If you've wondered why I've been miserable despite what should be a dream position, so much is covered here at the 23 mark," referring to the People Make Games video. "Robin Hunicky has been an absolute nightmare to work, quote, with, unquote, would be too generous as there's zero collaboration. She treats me like a house N-word," and you can see the exploitative here has been self-censored. Now, others simply just quote tweeted the People Make Games video and vouch for its findings and testimonies. After about 3 days, Robin Hunicky finally tweeted in response saying, "Leadership is a journey, and often a difficult one. It saddens me to know people are hurting from mistakes I've made. I'm truly sorry. Right now, I'm taking time to talk to people, focus on the feedback everyone is sharing, and figure out next steps." So there it is. Four separate successful game studios in the indie scene with reportedly very toxic working conditions created by their leadership. Obviously, it's not just an indie thing. We've heard similar types of stories come from AAA studios, which have HR departments. But it does make you wonder about our kind of thing that we do in the industry where we kind of put auteurs up on a pedestal and they kind of just become this...
Okay, let's talk about this, Eric. I'm not going to finish the video. If you guys want to see the rest of it, make sure you check out Inside Gaming, and it's the Ori devs and Robin Hunicky accused of workplace abuse. Lots to unpack here, Eric. You there?
This is my picture.
Okay.
Here.
I don't like the open structure of the first indie studio that he talked about where everybody could just say what, you know, something and everybody else heard it. There's a reason why most...
That's why I hate Destructoid so much. It's like...
Yeah.
I read a review that literally had someone finish the review by complaining that they much rather be playing the new Tomb Raider than the Pokemon Mystery Dungeon that came out at that time.
Yeah. Honestly, I think there's a reason why major companies have a what they call an open door policy. You go into a manager's room, it's private, that way you can air out your differences and everything's good to go. There was something really disturbing. I don't know if you caught it, Eric, you probably did. But she talked about, Hunicky, talked about someone's sexuality, how they couldn't, no wonder they were distracted because they were having a sexuality crisis or something of that nature. Why would you ever, and I mean ever,
It's probably not the reason
anyway. No, I'm just saying, why would you ever say that out in the open in front of people? You know, it's like people never learn, you know, like some of the bigger AAA studios have been sued for less, you know, a lot of times they get away with shit like that, but at least you have to understand, like even like some of the bigger studios will at least come out with like half-assed apologies, which I give Hunicky credit. She did come out and say that she's going to talk to people. And
no, that's
you know,
not really happened.
I know, but I'm saying at least she fucking, you know, went out there,
that's PR Eric. Speak, though.
No, I understand, and she's taken a lead from. I was gonna say, she's taken a leak, a lead. She's taken a leak, a lead, a lead from. Might as well, right? From some of the AAA studios that, you know, come up with that mumbo jumbo jargon about, you know, we strive to get better and blah, blah, blah. And all I can think about is places like Ubisoft, which haven't done a fucking thing to better their workplaces, right? And it doesn't sound like these indie developers...
Really, just tell you that they pretended. What are you talking about? There's nothing going on.
Right. It doesn't sound like... any of these indie developers are much better than, you know, than even the AAA studios. You know, it's like
I think it was last year or maybe a year or two years ago. But I remember the development team behind Skullgirls. They had a walkout because their CEO was a piece of shit.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen this with singular, you know, piece of crap developers like Phil Fish, you know, like just lambasting the whole industry. And maybe some of those people actually had the right idea, but were misguided a little bit in their wording. You know, I mean, what is the solution to this, Eric? Because do we just stop playing video games? Because if we do, I mean, if we stop playing video games for all the developers and publishers that abuse people, how many companies would be left? I mean, we got you.
Yeah, I mean, this is probably why people still watch stuff and pay for stuff like Disney Plus, despite money going directly into the coffers of people who work against the LGBT, because they know that no matter what they do, they can't win, so they might as well enjoy what's on offer.
Yeah, yeah.
There's not much you can do as an individual.
I mean,
and you have to cut out a lot of stuff out of your life because there's just too many terrible people in this.
That's making
mistakes after mistakes after mistakes and not learning from them because we have poor education in this country.
Yeah, I mean, what is the solution? There really isn't a great, you know, solution. I mean, and this is something I brought up a long time ago. I think it was with movies, right? Long time ago, we talked about Jeepers Creepers, the movie Jeepers Creepers, and how the director is like a piece of shit pedophile, right? Well, if I fucking stop watching all the movies that you know had people that were pieces of shit, you know, like Alec Baldwin, how he treated his kids, or you know, Tom Cruise and how he was a piece of shit Scientologist. And if I cut everything out of my life of every piece of shit, I mean, what would I be left to watch or play, Eric? Like, I mean, it's something, unless it's like, I mean, I guess you just have to pick and choose your battles, right, Eric? I mean, if there's something that you feel really, really 100% against, then I don't know what the solution is, because to change your life so dramatically that you have to stop playing all of them, I mean, that's...
Or, like, shaming people for enjoying things despite their problematic content.
Right, and I get that all the time.
The people behind making them.
I've had people on Twitter chastise me for games that I'm playing or watching or movies that I'm watching, and I'm like, I understand, but I can't... How can I weed all that stuff out and still have fun? You know, I don't know, man.
I'm probably never going to enjoy Rurouni Kenshin again, knowing how I know what kind of person who made it is into.
Yeah.
All I can really say after that is, well, I hope they actually get help at some point.
Yeah. Freak says, I have tons of games I haven't beat. I could probably... quit buying new games.
Like, you can be upset at something, but also enjoy the work that they're doing. Especially, it's even easier when that work has nothing to do with their worldview. Like I can't enjoy Harry Potter anymore because, one, J.K. Rowling's too garbage of a person for me to want to give them money, and two, a lot of her worldview is injected into that story, and that's why it's not as good as it could be.
Yeah, you know what's weird is I bought, a long time ago, I bought all of those movies digitally, and that's not going to stop me from watching them. I'm still going
to watch them. I don't even know what to do with my book. Yeah. I mean, I got rid of the movies because I'm not even interested in the story as a story anymore. Yeah. But now that I know how it how it's structured and the fact that ultimately nothing really of consequence came about due to Harry's battle with Voldemort, because the Wizarding World didn't get better. It still has problems. Yeah. And that sounded interesting to me, so I just threw it all
away.
Well,
I mean, that's almost any video game, if you think about it. Do any of the Final Fantasy games bring about world peace forever? Like, it doesn't happen. Like, there's always sequels, there's always, you know, I mean, if you just left everything as, oh, everything is fine, I mean, there's no room for doing anything more in that world. But I agree with you, Eric. Like, I mean, there's certain things that you can pick and choose. Freak 5 says, I have tons of games I haven't beat. I could probably quit buying new games and still have enough games to play for the rest of my life. That's a great point, Freak 5. I mean, I agree with you. I'm the same way. Like, I have tons of digital games, tons of physical games that I could go back to, but I mean, there's always new stuff that I want to play, you know. And I mean, I unless I find out that, you know, why should I have to punish everybody that worked on that game because the head of that game is a complete piece of shit?
To be fair, most of those people are already earning their paychecks. It's people it's people at the bottom who suffer when somebody doesn't buy enough of something.
Yeah, that's
based on arbitrary standards set by the publisher.
Yeah. Well, like I said, they get paid, but at what cost? I mean, crunch sucks. I mean, there was one developer that said, I think it was the Harry Potter developer game, I can't remember, said that there will be no crunch, which I thought was a good step in the right direction for all video game companies. I mean, developers.
I don't want to play it, especially after finding out the fact that the game's story is about fighting a goblin rebellion, and the goblins kidnap children, and there are comparisons being made to the goblins being a stand-in for Jews.
Yeah, I'm not going to play that game anyways, but I mean...
And then there's the issues with the developer itself.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying, like, that they're not doing... At least that for what they could go back on their word. Several of them have, like, at least they're not gonna make their people do crunch. But still, I mean, who knows if they're gonna tell the truth? You know, I mean, honestly. But I don't know. Just something to think about. And you know, I mean, we talk about this topic before in different ways. Like what's the, you know, I mean, if we got rid of everything that there was a piece of shit that worked on it, I mean, think about all the movies that you would stop watching, all the video games you would stop playing, all the TV series you would stop watching, all the anime you would stop watching. Like, what was it? Blood the Last Vampire. Remember that movie way back in the day, Eric? Have you ever seen it?
Uh-huh.
At the time, it had the most cutting-edge anime that you've ever seen. It was gorgeous. It still is. It holds up today, I think. But it was a shorter anime because there was trouble with people, like, you know, being treated like animals, pretty much. And I guess the schedule was so hectic and so, you know, soul crushing that a lot of people quit, or, you know, I mean, it was just terrible. But it's a brilliant movie, and you know, I mean, you have to think about those things. Do you really want to support stuff like that or not? You know, I mean, it's a weird conundrum, but all in the name of entertainment. But all right, well, I think that's all we got time for today. I know it was a quick show, Eric, but I'm kind of getting hungry, and I need to figure out what's going on with Breakman here. Hopefully everything's okay. You know, we'll hope for the best, everybody, on that. Let's do our plugs and get out of here. Go ahead, Eric. Plug away.
All right. You can find reviews I've written on bostonbassbrigade.com, or if you want to listen to the audio feed, I got a couple audio reviews of games there. And if you like either of those things and you want to support me, you can go to my Patreon and send me as little as a dollar if you feel like it. Or you can mention me to someone else who might be more willing to do that or able to do that. And that would help out. And the link to that Patreon is in my Twitter profile, which is at EricRPG.
Yeah. All right. Anything else, Eric?
Stay safe.
Okay.
COVID isn't over, even though the governments of various countries want to convince you otherwise.
Yeah. I want to thank Freak 5 for being in there, Slagar for being in there, Alien Gathering.
And put up with more expensive gas if it means that the resolution to the Ukraine crisis is going to happen more swiftly.
Yeah. Another TV viewer and SofaCal. Thank you all for being in the chat, even if you were just lurking. You can follow me on Twitter at Frank Branches. You can follow me on all the systems, RP Grinders. We are live every Friday, 7 Eastern time. So if you guys want to join us on twitch.tv/RP Grinders, or you can search YouTube, RP Grinders. But everybody joins on the chat thing. We didn't hit 10,000 this week, so slightly disappointed at that, Eric. But we will hit that, and we will do a mini celebration of 10,000 downloads on Twitch. But anyways, anything else, Eric?
I had to pay a little bit more for Kirby Forgotten Land, because for whatever reason, Walmart was selling it at almost $60 than the $50 that they usually do for first-party titles.
Yeah. All right. Stay safe this weekend. We want to see you back here next week. Until then, we are out. Take care, everybody.